Chazar Zeichen Nishab Bechis Chagam Vem Yehudim Sechem Megillah Daf Chav Dalet. Zok, the Mishnah, someone who's Kayer Betayr has to read a minimum of three Pesukim. You should also not read more than one Pesuk at a time for the one who will be translating. When reading from the Navi, you can read up to three Pesukim at a time for the one who will translate. However, the three Pesukim and the Navi are three separate Parashiyas. You have to read one by one separately. We may skip the different sections when reading the Navi, but not when reading from the Torah. How far are you allowed to skip? Only as far as we can move the Sefer to the next place while the translator is still translating. What are the three Pesukim that have to be read? What do they correspond to? Rashi said they correspond to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The Gemara brings an example of three consecutive Pesukim that are each a separate parasha and therefore should be read one by one. Mishnah said, "Medalgam Navi Ve'im Medalgam Torah." In fact, our Mishnah in Yuma says that the Kohen Gadol would read from Parshas Acharei and then from Parshas Emor. We see that we skip around even when reading from the Torah. Abaye said our Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to discussing skipping when you can't get to the next place within the time that it takes for the translator to finish. The Mishnah in Yuma is discussing where we can move to the next place within that time. In fact, our Mishnah says that the only time when skipping is allowed is in the Navi, and even then, it's only when the translator can still be translating by the time we get to the new place. But as Mashmah, when you're reading from the Torah, you're never allowed to skip. Abaye said, skipping within one topic is allowed during reading from the Torah, and our Mishnah is discussing skipping among more than one topic, that's only allowed by Navi, and only when it's in a time that the translator has not yet finished translating. Bryce says this as well, says that you're allowed to skip when reading from the Torah as long as it's within the same topic, and it's done while the translator is still translating. When reading from the Navi, the Bryce says, even allowed to skip to another topic as long as it's done while the translator is still translating. And Bryce says, we're not allowed to skip from one book of Navi to another. However, this may be done in Sefer Trei Osir, as long as we don't skip from the end of the Sefer to the beginning. Zok the Mishnah, the person who typically gets the maftir is the one who should also be Pyrus Hal Shema, say the Kalish Baruch and Birch Shema, like we learned. He should also be the Chazan for Kedusha, and he is a Kayan who should lead the Birchas Kahanim. If he's a Kotan and his father is Rebbe, he should do it in his place. Zok the Mishnah, a minor may read from the Torah and be the translator, but he may not be Pyrus Hal Shema, or be the Chazan, or do Birchas Kahanim. One whose legs are exposed may be Pyrus Hal Shema and may be a Meturgman, however, he may not read from the Torah, or be the Chazan, or do Birchas Kahanim. A blind person may be Pyrus Hal Shema, may be the translator. Rabbi Yehuda says, one who was blind from birth may not be Paris Al-Shama. Why is the one who gets maftah given all these additional honors? Rav Papa said, we award him with the honor because he was willing to read the Haftarah, which doesn't carry honor with it. Rabbi Barsimi said, this was done to prevent him from getting into an argument with the chazan who gets paid, while the maftah, on the other hand, is read for free. The difference between these reasons would be where the chazan doesn't get paid. The Mishnah said, if a cotton gets maftah, his father has already become the chazan in his place. Now, a cotton does not want to get into an argument with the chazan, and yet he gets these honors. This is problematic according to Rabbi Barsimi. Mar said, we would not be concerned with the covet of the cotton either. So even according to our papa, this would be problematic. We have to say that we're concerned for the covet of the father of the Rebbe. Similarly, we'll be concerned with the father of the Rebbe coming into an argument with the chazan. The Mishnah said, "Poicheach poiris al shema." May a cotton with exposed legs read from the Torah? So he answered, just like a naked cotton could not read from the Torah because of covet atzibur, same thing would be with it. Only his legs are exposed. Also, he couldn't read because of covet atzibur. The Mishnah said, Suma Paris al Shema. A Braisa says, Acham said to Rabbi Yehuda, many people have darshan the Makova, and without actually seeing it. Similarly, a blind person should be able to make the bracha of Shema, even though he never actually saw the sun, the moon, etc. that are mentioned in the bracha. Rabbi Yehuda said, on the other hand, understanding the Makova is about understanding in the mind. The bracha of Shema said, I'm benefiting from the light, and a blind person doesn't benefit from the light. The Rabbanan said, a blind person does benefit from the light. As it was told by Rabbi Yossi in a Braisa, he explained based on a story that a blind person benefits from light in the sense that other people see him then and can help him when there's light. In that way, he is said to have benefited from the light. Zok the Mishnah, a kohen who has a blemish on his hand should not do birchas kahanim. Rabbi Yehuda says the same is true for a kohen whose hands are colored from a dye, because people will stare at his hands. We don't want them to look at his hands when you're doing birchas kahanim, because the shechina is on his hands. Zok the Gemara Braisa says the blemishes that they said make a kohen impossible to do birchas kahanim, make impossible whether it's on his face, hands, or feet. Rabbi Shmuel Levi says a kohen with spotted hands may not do birchas kahanim. Braisa says this as well and adds if the kohen has crooked hands, he also can't do birchas kahanim. Rasi said a kohen from Haifa can't do birchas kahanim because they switched their pronunciation for ayins and olives, which lead to a different and a bad meaning to the words of birchas kahanim. Rabbi Chiya told Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, if you were a Levi, you'd be possible to sing in the Beis HaMikdash because you have a thick, heavy voice. Rabbi Shimon told this to his father. So Rebbe told his son to mention a pasuk to Rav Chiya, which shows that he mispronounced the words actually in a very bad way, and in that way sort of answer him back. Rav Huna said, a kohen whose eyes tear excessively should not do birchas kahanim. There was such a kohen in Rav Huna's neighborhood who did do birchas kahanim. Mara says his neighborhood was very familiar with the person, and therefore they wouldn't stare at him. Rav Yechanan says, a kohen who's blind in one eye should not do birchas kahanim. There was such a kohen in Rav Yechanan's neighborhood who did do birchas kahanim. Mara again says his neighborhood was familiar with him, and therefore they would not stare at him. Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mishnah Hayu Yod of Tzavuas v'chula. Bryce says most of the people in the city work with this dye so that their hands are the same, also like colored like that. He may do birchas kahanim because they won't stare at his hands. Zok the Mishnah, if someone says, I will not be the chazan in colored clothing, then we don't even let him be the chazan when he's wearing white clothing. If he says, I will not be the chazan when wearing sandals, he cannot even be the chazan if he's barefoot. If someone makes his tefillin round, it's dangerous and he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. If someone places his tefillin on his forehead or on his palm, this is the way of the minim. If one covers his tefillin in gold, or if he puts his tefillin on his sleeve instead of directly on his arm, that's the way of the outsiders, the chitzonim. Zok the Gemara, we don't allow the person to be the chazan in the case of the Mishnah because we're concerned that he's following the minim who would not daven in colored clothing or in sandals. Maybe we can say that our Mishnah is a proof for a brayso that says that halacha l'mashum b'sinai teaches that tefillin have to be square. Our Papa said no. Our Mishnah may be discussing where one made his tefillin round like a nut, which is meaning it's spherical, not just round, which is dangerous because it can pierce the skull. However, it may be that the Mishnah would allow a flat round tefillin, which wouldn't be dangerous. So no raya from our Mishnah to this brayso.